Welcome to Investing in You, hosted by Eric Gemelli, the market forecaster who predicted the crash on September 11th in writing in his newspaper column. Eric is the author of the book, The Pattern of Life, How to Make Money in Any Market. Now, with his irreverent look at markets and money, here's Investing in You.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Investing in You. The Grand Pooba of Independence will be here shortly, and I'm your show host, Eric Gemelli. Want to welcome you to hopefully a more patriotic version of our show. Happy Independence Day to everybody. I'm more of a fan of the term Independence Day than 4th of July, because that doesn't really signify much but a date on the calendar. And really, what did our forefathers fight for was independence. So one of the things we like to focus on is financial independence here. So we'll be talking about that. In the second and third segments, we're having on Harry Moser. It's called reshoring. He's working on bringing manufacturing back to America, and it feels like a patriotic thing. And so we're glad that he's going to be on. And in our fourth segment, we're going to be talking about wisdom again. You know, think about it. Can you have a life full of bad choices and somehow have great insights to investing opportunity? Well, you might be able to, but you know, where's the probability? The probability is going to be the wiser you are as an individual, the wiser decisions you're going to make throughout your life. And also, we would like to give a shout out to all those who serve to keep us free. I love that bumper sticker that says, if you can read this bumper sticker, thank a teacher. If you can read it in English, thank a vet. So thank you to all you vets out there who have put your lives on the line to keep us free. I'd like to especially think of my dad and daughter. We're kind of a Navy family, I guess. My dad was in the Navy in Korea, and my daughter's out somewhere on the Mediterranean right now. So God bless all of you folks who, put yourself at risk. Here is the Navy Creed. I came across this recently. I hope you enjoy it. I am a United States sailor. I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States of America, and I will obey the orders of those appointed over me. I represent the fighting spirit of the Navy and those who have gone before me to defend my freedom and democracy around the world. I proudly serve my country's Navy combat team with honor, courage, and commitment. I am committed to excellence and the fair treatment of all. So they do put their lives on the line. They are a combat team. And, you know, we've had so much peace in America, predominantly over the years. I think sometimes it's easy to forget that that they are warriors and they're ready to risk it all. So thank you, folks. I wanted to tell you about taking my youngest daughter. I have four daughters, in case you didn't know and possibly don't care, but four daughters. Took my youngest one line dancing over to a country hall this past weekend. But this has a point. I lost my daughter, in the crowd. There's a thousand kids there. It's primarily an underage group at that time. And I couldn't find her. I was looking for her for a long time. I did a couple laps, went on the dance floor, couldn't find her. So I was talking to the general manager there and asked her if she had seen my daughter. So I described her. Well, let's see. She's 15. She's 5'3", blonde. She has a white iPhone, and she's wearing boots. So obviously the whole point was there are, 500 other kids on the floor that all look like that. And it didn't really seem to help her, that description didn't seem to help. You know who did stand out, though, is the big guy who's 6'7" and wearing a cowboy hat. So no matter how pretty a 5'3" girl is, she's the same size as everybody else and kind of blended in. We do have a recipe for, and markets are like that, and we're going to talk about that in a second. But we have a recipe for freedom here. I put this in my newsletter recently. Here is kind of our formula for financial freedom. We like to get people charting the Dow. If people chart the Dow, then they can start. That's the predominant indicator that we have in our markets. So the majority of stocks kind of follow that lead. Think about it. Why is, Buffalo Wild Wings up when the Dow's up? Wouldn't the price of chicken influence that more? So we'd like people to chart the Dow daily, and it's for the purpose of identifying the patterns that we've been talking to you about for the last couple months. And once you learn to identify the patterns, you can identify the opportunities. One of my new clients, in fact, I think he said, well, I know he said he'd be listening today, so Brian, give you a shout out. He told me yesterday he, in his first trade, made 23%. So those opportunities are there all the time, and it's just a matter of identifying those. So you chart in order to identify the patterns. Once you identify the patterns, those point to the opportunities to both to make money both long-term and short-term, but also because like he was in for about 3 weeks, I think. So, you know, a lot of people are uncomfortable day trading. That's fine. Most people lose money day trading. So a lot of people do well just finding kind of a midterm opportunity to ride. But one of the things is he made money while the market was falling, and that's something that we've talked about a lot here, is some of the best opportunities are when the market's falling. And of course, most people know how to make money as the market rises, but you would expect people to know that part, but it's actually about three times more profitable to make money as it falls. Think about when the Fed made its announcement, I think it was 2 weeks ago. You know, what did it fall? 550 points or so in 2 days? That was a killer opportunity. So Brian was actually betting on the market falling from a certain point. And I had put that in my newsletter. So for my new guys, they have the newsletter, they have the training on knowing what to find, but then they also have the newsletter prodding them along and helping them spot those opportunities. So then from there, what we do is we make calculated trades, preferably in something that's leveraged just a little. There's exchange-traded funds out there. They're called ETFs, and they're tied to all kinds of things. So there's ETFs that follow commodities. There's ETFs that follow, you know, the energy complex. There's ETFs that follow the S&P, the Russell. There's ETFs that follow the financials. Brian happened to play what's called an inverse ETF. So even as the market was falling, the financials were falling with it, as generally happens. But he bet on it falling, but this particular ETF goes up as the market falls. And it goes up. They try to get about three times leverage. So it's not... it moves quickly, but it's not so crazy that new traders panic. At least that's my experience. So he bought one of those. It's called FAZ, Frank Alpha Zebra. And that goes up when the market falls. And, of course, the secret is knowing when the market's going to fall and knowing when it's going to turn again. So he did a fantastic job. So congratulations on, 23%. Think about it. Your average financial planner, broker, mutual fund, that's their goal for 2 years, and he did it in 3 weeks. So I think it's a life-changing event for him to be able to do that, because when you do it once, you prove yourself to yourself that the patterns work, that the patterns predict where the turns are, and that you can make money. You can make 2 years' worth of returns in the matter of weeks. What I like people to do, if they can just do that, if they do those four things, chart, identify the patterns, identify opportunity, and then make calculated trades that have a little bit of leverage through an ETF, then they'll probably set themselves up to double their account every year or two. And that probably sounds crazy to people, but if you only make 40%, so he just made 23% three weeks, so how hard is it to make 40%? Not that much harder, right? And we talked about the rule of 72. We have a financial planner here on the show who supports the show, Les Madsen. When he came on for his interview, and we're going to be hearing from him again probably in a month or so, but he talked about what's called the rule of 72, and real quickly, just a thumbnail sketch of that. You'd take the interest rate you're making, divide it into 72, and in an interest-free environment, that's roughly how long it takes to double your money. So at 10%, for example, it takes roughly 7 years to double your money. Well, divide 40 into 72. Okay, now you're doubling it about every 2 years. So again, that's an interest-free environment. Once people are used to that, then we can start start going in and getting more leverage. And for people, once you're trading with what I call house money, you can maybe start playing the options. And there's some conservative ways to do that. So let's take Brian. I don't know what he made, but let's say over time here he makes $1,500. Well, we might put $400 or $500 on that, on an option that's well placed. So stick around, folks. We're going to have Harry Moser on talking to us about the benefits of bringing manufacturing back to the U.S. And anytime you need to replay this, then you can go to market4caster.com. Stick around.
Michael Jordan says, get the fundamentals down and the level of everything you do will rise. Colorado Financial Education helps you learn more effective ways to think about your money, with the typical client saving at least $3,500 per year. We help people gain control of their money and get out of debt using the debt avalanche. We even have a money-back guarantee. Call us 303-548-9953. 303-548-9953.
You run a good business, but need more customers. Your website with video is 50 times more likely to appear on the first page when Googled. Little Raven Pictures creates video for Discovery, PBS, and local businesses. See their work at littleravenpictures.com, then call 303-618-0096. For a short time only, Little Raven Pictures is offering a custom web video for $1,700. A 20-year history of professional work and happy clients makes them the right fit for your business. littleravenpictures.com, 303-618-0096.
Les Madsen is the president of Premier Financial Services Group and has over 20 years of experience in the financial services industry. Les' focus has been in retirement planning, helping businesses establish retirement programs such as 401ks and simple IRAs. In working with individuals, Les' focus is not only with wealth accumulation, but distribution planning and Social Security integration. Les can be reached at 303-843-6211, 303-843-6211. Imagine feeling hungry and knowing your pantry and refrigerator are empty, but you have no money to buy food. Sadly, 1 in 7 Coloradans don't have to imagine and sometimes worry where they'll find their next meal. You can help. Please consider contributing volunteer time and funds to Food Bank of the Rockies. Every dollar Food Bank of the Rockies receives becomes 4 meals for our neighbors in need, and 96 cents of every dollar goes toward food distribution. Learn more at foodbankrockies.org.
At Supreme Lending, our phones are ringing off the hook with people wanting to save money by refinancing. However, the question we get every day is, how long does it take to close a refinance? Our goal is to close your loan in 15 days or less. If you're in the market to refinance, call our office today at 303-242-5222. That's 303-242-5222. Or apply online at GoSupremeLending.com. Supreme Lending is Equal Housing Lender. NMLS 76047, 1670 Broadway, Suite 850, Denver, Colorado, 80202.
Get the perfect fusion of performance, styling, and technology at Prestige Audi, where our passionate Audi staff will provide the quintessential car buying experience and put your pulse in drive. Discover why more people are leaving BMW, Mercedes-Benz, and Lexus for Audi than ever before.
Now lease a 2013 A4 Premium for $299 a month for 42 months. $58.92 due at signing. Visit PrestigeAudi.com for details.
Prestige Audi of Lakewood, the cradle.
Hi, folks. Welcome back. This is Eric Jamelli with Investing in You. And I'm pleased to introduce Harry Moser from the Reshoring Initiative. I read a quote that Harry had when he was speaking to the White House Insourcing Forum. It says, he said, when companies understand their total cost of ownership, they offshore less and reshore more. So, Harry Moser, welcome to the show.
Eric, it's great to be here. Thanks.
And you're... What your group is called, the Reshoring Initiative, is that correct?
That's correct. Yeah.
I have a feeling people are going to want to, you know, find you and find your website and all that. Why don't we just start with that, and if we have time, we'll do it again at the end.
www.reshorenow.org.
Yeah, say it again, so people are just grabbing pencils.
I understand. reshorenow.org.
Okay. Awesome. Well, what is reshoring and why should we care?
So reshoring is the opposite of offshoring. So it's bringing back to the U.S. or to North America, perhaps, the production of something that had been made here and went away for a while, was made in China, India, Mexico, you know, somewhere else, and then came back and is made here again. So it's been reshored as opposed to offshored.
Right.
And why we should care?
Right.
Jobs. If we can bring enough back, or when we bring enough back, and balance the trade deficit so we produce as much as we consume, that's about 3 million manufacturing jobs, maybe 6 to 10 million total jobs.
Why is it total? What's the difference?
Because there's the multiplier effect. Every manufacturing job you bring back brings back somewhere between 1 and 5, depending on the kind of manufacturing, other jobs, suppliers, lawyers to sue them, hamburger flippers, people to cut the lawn, you know, all kinds of things like that. So manufacturing has the biggest multiplier effect. So if we could bring back even 6 million jobs, that would cut the unemployment rate by 4 points.
Wow, that's a huge impact. So you have, I was actually going to ask you to infer the effect of bringing in jobs. You have degrees from both MIT and University of Chicago, is that right?
That's correct.
What are the degrees in?
The MIT was a BS in mechanical engineering, an MS in engineering, and University of Chicago was an MBA.
Okay, so the MBA part probably gave you the tools to infer what happens if we keep losing jobs to other countries. What happens to the country if we don't have manufacturing here?
Eventually, you can't have, if you don't have manufacturing, you cannot consume manufactured goods, because the other countries are not going to be willing to send us cars and television sets unless we have something to send back. So eventually, you have to have manufacturing. I think it's a question of whether we have relatively desirable manufacturing like we do now, or whether the dollar collapses and we become the low-wage country to which the Chinese send the dirty work to get done.
Wouldn't that be a turnabout?
Wouldn't be good.
And frankly, you just described what... So you may not know, I'm a market forecaster, and I use technical analysis. And what you just described, I see something similar in the charts, where possibly America hits its zenith and... You know, and does a Japan-style fall for a couple decades. So, I it's one of the reasons I wanted to have you on. And by the way, for our listeners, you were very kind to move a doctor appointment. I hope you're not going to die as a result of coming on the show today.
No problem.
Okay. Well, that was probably above and beyond the call. So, thanks. Well, how do we go about bringing jobs back then?
Well, there's a couple of ways. First, the easiest way to bring them back is for companies to recognize all the costs associated with offshoring. So many of them look just at the price, and or maybe the landed cost, like price, duty, freight, packaging, and they ignore the carrying cost of inventory, the travel cost, the intellectual property risk, the opportunity cost when they stock out and cannot deliver because the delivery time from their supplier is so long. And when they look at all those other costs, they see that instead of the offshore source being 30% lower, maybe it's 5% lower. And then when they apply methodologies like better training, more automation, lean, theory of constraints, techniques like that, they can knock out that 5 or 10% differential and bring the work back.
My co-host, you haven't heard his voice yet. He's the Grand Poobah of Independence. No, I got your mic on. He's flagging me, saying his mic is off.
Yeah, I told me until next break.
So anyway, he used to be in technology, and Chris, what is the impact on people? You know, how often is it that people are calling overseas to get help and then are not using those services any longer? I find myself frustrated with them, and it's like, well, I'm just not going to do it. Do you find that too?
I can't remember ever speaking to anyone who enjoyed talking to someone who could barely speak English.
Right.
And who came from a culture where they have a deep appreciation for being right and never being wrong. actually had a nice long conversation with my cousin about that yesterday, dealing with different technical support teams from one software manufacturer to another.
There you go.
Custom software. Yeah, it's, well, it's kind of a necessary evil, I believe, in the...
So you're talking about
globalization.
You're talking about cultures where, like, respect is paramount, and if they have to admit fault, you know, that doesn't cross over.
It's a big problem that not many people really realize.
Yeah. So Harry, do you see that too, where cultural differences are not taken into account?
Yeah, well, one of the largest would be corruption. Generally, the lowest wage countries are also the home of the worst corruption, or almost the worst corruption. So there's severe problems in many of those source countries. And then there's intellectual property risk, probably worst in China of the major suppliers. But, you know, repeated cases of companies having someone over there make a product for them and ship it, and that supplier company makes the same product and ships it out under its own label. In fact, I met a fellow who told me that he had to make a product for him. The label had a picture of his wife on it, and when the company made a counterfeit product, they still had a picture of his wife on the product.
Oh, my gosh, that's so bad. That's horrible. I know somebody here in Colorado who is works for, it's not a medical company, it's the company that makes the machines that make the medical equipment. And there's there's a company in South Korea that has copied their products so accurately that their own techs can't differentiate the equipment. You know, so you're right. The intellectual theft is enormous, and how long can that continue?
Understand. Let me tell you about what we do.
Yeah.
So our job is to document the trend of reshoring from what countries, in what industries, for what reasons, to what states. So we have all that available in our library and in our presentations, and we document the number of jobs. So about 80,000 manufacturing jobs have been reshored in the last 3.5 years. So not an overwhelming number, but we think a very good start. So we document what's happening. I go around, I give about 100 presentations a year around the country and do articles, et cetera, and that gets the attention of companies, and they say, maybe we should think about reshoring. And then we provide a free software. We call it the Total Cost of Ownership Estimator that they use to compare all those extra costs. So it looks at 29 costs to come up with this total cost, which then we believe, based on the statistics that we've run from our users, in about 25% of the cases, the company concludes that even though the price is lower offshore, the total cost is higher offshore. So we believe if we could just get all the companies to use our system or something like it, about 25% of what's been offshored would come back.
That's fantastic. Well, we're down to just seconds in this segment, but Harry Moser from the Reshoring Initiative is going to stay with us into the next segment, and we can talk more about the total cost of ownership estimator you have on your website. Everyone, stick around. We'll be right back.
Did you know most home foreclosures could have been avoided with another $250 per month of income? And most bankruptcies wouldn't be necessary with just an extra $500 income per month. If you've been looking for a fun business that really works, where you can create a reliable residual income with a proven program that includes step-by-step training and support, and is a business you can work part-time or full-time, that is also risk-free because it has a money-back guarantee, then please call Rona Smith at 719-440-1286 for more information on how she created an extra $5,000 residual income per month working from home. That's 719-440-1286. Or check out her website at workingfromhomeandlovingit.com. That's working, no G, from home and loving it, no G, .com. Working from home and loving it, .com.
Hi, welcome to Lube and Latte. How can I help you?
There's a funny sound when I start my car. Can you check it out?
Oh, sure. Would you like a latte while you wait?
Sounds great. Wow, a real espresso bar. You don't ever mix up the coffee and the oil, do you?
only once, but the car ran great.
This is a great latte.
Oh, thanks. It's from a local roaster, Novo. We'll get a look at your car right away.
Lube and Latte, Denver's only full-service garage and espresso bar, located at 26th and Kipling. We are family-owned, ASE-certified, and do repairs big and small on all vehicles, makes, and models.
Well, we found the noise. Your belt was loose. We tightened it up and did a complimentary inspection. You'll probably need new front brakes in a few months, but otherwise your car is good to go.
Thanks so much. You guys are great. I love this place.
You're going to love Lube and Latte, too. Make an appointment today at LubeandLatte.com. Lube and Latte. Cars and coffee done differently.
Thinking of buying or selling a home? Mary Strange with Keller Williams and the Strange team sells homes faster for more money. Lots of realtors say that, but Mary brings in a professional photographer and a professional stager when necessary. The result is homes sold in an average of 45 days. Listen to Dr. Dale Baird's testimony.
I have a very nice home built in the early 1970s on 0.6 acres, but had some problems and previous agents just couldn't get it sold. Matter of fact, they pretty much threw their hands up and was recommending that I just get rid of the property, which meant I most likely would have had to come to the table with some cash. Luckily, I found Mary Strange of the Strange team. Not only did I not have to do expensive repairs, she found a nice young couple wanting to start a family that fell in love with the house. They purchased the house, but I actually made some money on it. Thank you, Mary. I can't thank you enough.
For a free market evaluation, call 303-668-5205. You have nothing to lose and everything to gain.
As a certified master coach, Wayne L. Anderson's goal is to help you uncover your true business and professional potential. His objective is to help you lead a professional life worth celebrating. Wayne's primary focus is to assist you in making radical improvements in your career as a leader and or professional. He'll provide you with support and guidance as both your leadership and business coach, and will assist you in removing the obstacles that stand in the way of you achieving your goals. Whether you want coaching to help you achieve a specific outcome or wish to enhance all areas of your professional life, Wayne L. Anderson can help you get there faster. For more information on his services or to schedule a consultation, contact him today at 720-472-9291. That's 720-472-9291. Or visit www.coachwayneanderson.com to learn more.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back. You're listening to Investing in You, and we're talking to Harry Moser from the Reshoring Initiative. And in the last segment, we were talking about the total cost of ownership. He has a it's a reshoring initiative to bring manufacturing jobs back to America. So on his website, he has a total cost of ownership estimator. And Harry, didn't you say it has 29 components? Is that correct?
Yeah, actually, the user answers 26 questions. What's the price of the product in the U.S. and offshore? How much does it weigh? How many? All this kind of thing. How many times am I going to go to visit the supplier? And then it takes all that and it does all kinds of spreadsheet kind of calculations to calculate 29 costs, which added together comes out to be the total cost.
Gotcha. Yeah, that seems brilliant. I'm glad you did that. Give people again, so is there a cost to this, or is this free of
Everything's
charge?
Free. We have on the website the total cost of ownership estimator. They just have to log in. They get a password, et cetera. And there's a library where they can read 425 articles about people who have reshored. And there's a case studies feature where they can report how their company has reshored. And the feature creates a PDF which they can download and post on their website, and we post it on ours, so they get free publicity that they were so competitive as to be able to reshore from China, India, Mexico, somewhere.
Yeah, that's great. So who has reshored lately then?
Yeah, a couple of interesting cases that everybody can relate to. Apple announced that they were going to bring back the Mac production into the U.S. Motorola announced maybe a month ago that they have bought the old Nokia factory in Fort Worth, Texas, and are going to employ 2,000 people to produce the Moto X, which is their highest-end smartphone. Google has announced that the Google Glass or glasses will be made in the U.S. So just a lot of really high-end, the kind of consumer electronic companies that look like they were lost forever have now announced that they're starting to come back.
Yeah, that's fantastic. You know, we teach, so I told you we do technical analysis here, and that's all charts and patterns. And I think that's the pendulum principle. It swings one way, and I'm glad you're a part of the pendulum swinging back to bringing industry here. It's kind of popular, I think, in some circles to imagine that we could be a country of only white-collar jobs. But and I introduced our grand poobah of independence here, Christopher Smith, as you know, having worked in technology, but his degree's actually in psychology. And Chris, it doesn't work that way, right? People are wired in so many different ways. You can't only have people doing one job. There's always going to be people that want to be the hands-on mechanical people, right?
Right.
So we need those jobs here for them. So I'm 100% behind you. Harry, why don't you give, again, your website, because I think people are especially going to want to find you.
www.reshorenow.org. And there's two ways people can use it. If somebody works at a bigger company that might offshore or be thinking of offshoring, they can use the total cost system as a sourcing tool. You know, where should I buy it? But if they work at a smaller company like a contract manufacturer or a supplier, then when they're trying to convince that supply chain or purchasing person at the big company, it becomes a sales tool to get the big company to think about total cost instead of just price.
Yeah, that price is deceptive to say, oh, we're paying an hour what some countries charge per day for the labor. There's so many more costs, right?
Correct. Yeah. And when I say price, I mean the ex works price for the factory as opposed to the wage of the worker. So the one reason all this has been so active lately is that in China, wages expressed in dollars have been going up at about 18% per year for the last 10 or 13 years, which means they've gone from essentially nothing to something, and they have about a third the productivity we have. So they get the labor content gets close enough to the U.S. that when you add all those other costs in, that now, not 5 years ago, but now and increasingly in the future, the product will be more economically made here than made there and shipped here.
And I read that China is losing, it's ironic, manufacturing to countries that have cheaper labor costs than them.
Yeah, that's happening. But at the same time, the wage rates in those other countries are going up because they used to keep their wages down to compete with China, and China's gone up so fast that the other countries are starting to have minimum wages and child labor laws and only work 70 hours a week and safety, and everybody's starting to get religion, so to speak, in terms of pollution and safety and labor, and that's good for us because good for them because they'll have better conditions, and good for us because it makes us relatively more competitive.
Well, in Colorado, people are very sensitive to environmental issues, and so that's going to impact some of that as well. So we're glad that their living standards will improve in many ways. You said you speak. You do public speaking. Under what circumstances? So, there might be some people that could bring you in, to speak
sure.
to their groups.
Well, I'll do about 100, 120 speeches a year, some television, radio like this, mostly live. And it's typically events put on by the State Manufacturing Association or the local economic development group or the Manufacturing Extension Partnership or some kind of trade association. So annual meetings, the trade shows, open houses, all that kind of thing. Whoever needs me. And it's a couple times a week on average throughout the year.
There's there's other groups out there trying to revitalize manufacturing. What's different about the reshoring initiative?
Compared to many of them, many of them talk and write and analyze, whereas we consider ourselves to be much more active, much more enabling. So we analyze, yes, we provide data, yes, but then we, by providing the tools and helping the companies make the correct analysis, we enable the trend to grow. So I think that's a significant difference. That's one difference. Another difference, there are some companies, some groups that are only sort of cheerleaders and extreme nationalists and pound on the table and, you know, sort of scream about the Chinese. And we do that a little more subtly. We provide an objective tool for the companies to make their decision, because we know companies are not going to reshore and lose millions of dollars. They're just not going to do it. So our job is to stay calm and collected and provide the tools and the objective analysis that lets the companies make a decision that they know is in their own interest. So when they bring it back, they'll keep it here because they know it's more profitable for them to bring it back.
Well, privately we discussed the difference between a reshoring initiative and a reshoring institute. Isn't that the point of what you're getting at here?
Yeah, I think that's the point about an institute. Sounds like studies and white papers, and whereas we're the initiative, we're pushing, we're a program, an effort. And like Yodis said to Luke Skywalker, don't try, do. And so we're in the doing column.
Oh, that's brilliant. Yeah, you know, I think that what my favorite Chinese fortune cookie is, the message was, knowing and not doing is the same as not knowing. So there has to be action for there to be a difference.
I agree.
Trying to think here. Is this a process that has to take forever, or is this something that can be, you know, accomplished quickly? It seems like since the headquarters is here, we can kind of unwind some of those contracts that we've had maybe in the next year or two, right?
In principle, they could. There's a lot of bureaucracy and culture in companies that, you know, people have become presidents of companies based on offshoring because it looked like they were saving money. So it's hard for them to make the change. Companies who just built a $100 million factory in China, it's not going to be easy to shut that down. So it took 50 years or 60 years to get where we are with the offshoring. So it's going to take decades, unfortunately, to bring it back. But the there's another reason is we have a significant shortage of what I call skilled professionals, toolmakers, precision machinists, chemical technicians, all the people that are needed to make our U.S. companies competitive enough to make this happen. So at the same time that I work on the reshoring, I'm active on several fronts in developing that skilled workforce. So I'm on a program with the National Academy of Sciences to do that, and the Clinton Global Initiative, and I'm on the board of NIMS, National Institute of Metalworking Skills, which is the certifying organization for the skilled metal workers. Because I know if we don't have those people, good people, well-trained, then it's not going to work.
Well, that's fantastic. We're down to just seconds, so I want to thank you for, you know, rearranging your life to be here today. We got about 30 seconds, so just one more time, give the web address for your site.
It is so nice to ask. www.reshorenow.org, and it's the Reshoring Initiative. If you Google that, you'll find it.
That's awesome. Well, folks, stick around. We're in our last segment of the show. We're going to be talking about ways to be wiser.
Get the perfect fusion of performance, styling, and technology at Prestige Audi, where our passionate Audi staff will provide the quintessential car buying experience and put your pulse in drive. Discover why more people are leaving BMW, Mercedes-Benz, and Lexus for Audi than ever before.
Now lease a 2013 A4 Premium for $299 a month for 42 months. $58.92 due at signing. Visit PrestigeAudi.com for details.
Prestige Audi of Lakewood, the cradle of acceleration.
Michael Jordan says, get the fundamentals down and the level of everything you do will rise. Colorado Financial Education helps you learn more effective ways to think about your money, with the typical client saving at least $3,500 per year. We help people gain control of their money and get out of debt using the debt avalanche. We even have a money-back guarantee. Call us 303-548-9953. 303-548-9953.
You've heard the testimonials on this show. Ordinary people making 10 times what mutual funds make. In his 72-page ebook, Eric Gemelli, the market forecaster who predicted the market crash of September 11th, in his syndicated newspaper column, teaches you the philosophy and techniques of professional floor traders. Follow the link on marketforecaster.com. That's market4caster.com.
Les Madsen is the president of Premier Financial Services Group and has over 20 years of experience in the financial services industry. Les' focus has been in retirement planning, helping businesses establish retirement programs such as 401ks and simple IRAs. In working with individuals, Les' focus is not only with wealth accumulation, but distribution planning and Social Security integration. Les can be reached at 303-843-6211, 303-843-6211.
You run a good business, but need more customers. Your website with video is 50 times more likely to appear on the first page when Googled. Little Raven Pictures creates video for Discovery, PBS, and local businesses. See their work at littleravenpictures.com, then call 303-618-0096. For a short time only, Little Raven Pictures is offering a custom web video for $1,700. A 20-year history of professional work and happy clients makes them the right fit for your business. littleravenpictures.com, 303-618-0096.
As a prime lending, our phones are ringing off the hook with people wanting to save money by refinancing. However, the question we get every day is, how long does it take to close a refinance? Our goal is to close your loan in 15 days or less. If you're in the market to refinance, call our office today at 303-242-5222. That's 303-242-5222. Or apply online at gosupremelending.com. Supreme Lending is equal housing lender. NMLS 76047, 1670 Broadway, Suite 850, Denver, Colorado, 80202.
Hi, everybody. This is Eric Gemelli bringing investing in you. I caught off a little guard. We were having some fun here. We've talked about shooting video of the sessions here, and then you'd actually get to see some of the goofiness that happens behind the scenes. But anyway, welcome back to Investing in You. In the fourth segment, generally we like to talk about wisdom. In the first segment, I asked the rhetorical question, if people could make bad decisions everywhere else in their life, but somehow make good decisions in their investing. Well, possibly, you know, they could be idiot savants maybe, but on the other hand, you know, it's not as likely. If you have a lifestyle of wisdom, a lifestyle of choosing discipline, which good investing takes, then you're probably going to be better off. So the first pillar, there's seven pillars of wisdom, seven basic principles. The first one is awesome respect for truth, and I came across a great quote by George Washington that I thought was a kind of a good bridge here because, you know, it fits in with our independence holiday here. He said, "It is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey His will, to be grateful for His benefits, and humbly to implore His protections and favor." So maybe there is a source of truth. Remember, we're talking about the awesome respect for truth. Maybe there is a source for truth, and fighting the law of gravity, for example, that's a true thing. Life, you know, you have to understand the principles of gravity. Don't fight it because it's gonna take effect. Well, there are principles of investing, and those, you know, all come into play too. So a lot of people, frankly, don't want to tell themselves the truth about their retirement account. Go to, you know, look at your statements sometime. Here we have a long holiday. Take a little bit of time and find out, are you on track? People in their 40s and 50s probably need about $3 million if they want to retire in 20 years. That's what the goal is going to be. You know, so you can check your figures. I have I don't do that much blogging. I probably should change that, but I only have a few blogs there, and if you go to market4caster.com, I have something labeled Simple Online Financial Tools. And there's a tool there. It's a compounding tool that you can put in what you have, what your starting number is, and what you're adding, and what interest rate you think you're getting, and give you the final answer. And probably 95% of people are off track. That's the sad statement of affairs. So it's just another reason to, frankly, do what Harry Moser was talking about, is bringing jobs back so people can be working. You know, I think it's more than just the economics, too. I probably should have pointed this out, but I think meaningful work, you know, so even people who have welfare, for example, well, that's just a financial equation. What about the meaningful work, having something productive to do with your life? So I think that's important as well. So the first pillar is awesome respect for the truth. The second pillar is be humble enough to listen. We have to listen, and that takes humility. So I heard an interesting quote that about somebody who is a self-made man, and he worships his creator. So that's a little bit of a problem to, you know, be worshiping yourself. There's a fellow named Chuck Blakeman. He wrote a book, Making Money is Killing Your Business. And I'm intrigued by the title and just started reading it. In his prologue, he said, "Everything I know is a summary of what I have learned from other people. We all learn from one another, and the best we can do is take all of that learning from the world around us and sum it up in a fresh narrative for a new time." Isn't that what talk radio is? Haven't we all learned something? You know, maybe we add a few pieces of our own, but primarily what I'm talking to you about is things that I've learned. Chris, you've been a student. You know, have you found this process to be helpful?
The process of learning from other people?
Well, particularly the financial tools that I teach.
Oh, your process. Oh, certainly. I don't think I'd be here otherwise.
You know, so it's a pay it forward type of proposition that we're doing here. I learned from my mentor, and, you know, it's my joy then to teach other people. So learning to listen, and that's all of us, right? You know, I had I used to own a painting company at one time, and I had a crackhead working for me, and he was pretty much useless until Wednesday, till the chemicals got out of his system from partying all weekend. And, you know, I learned from him. There was, you know, he had some interesting insights that I could benefit. Some people are just killing it in their businesses, and some are struggling, you know, both in business and personal life. Then sometimes, don't we need to just develop a new skill set? Well, that would require learning. One of our show sponsors here is Wayne L. Anderson. I hope you're paying attention to his ads. He is a business coach. First of all, I'm trained as a financial coach, so I can say firsthand that the coaching process is very useful. It's very intuitive. People find in just sometimes one session, sometimes just a couple, they're going to find information that is revolutionary to both their personal and business lives. And Wayne Anderson is a master coach, so he's the one that trains the coaches. So he's exceptionally talented, and I would suggest I don't think his promotion says it, but he actually offers a free introductory session. So, you know, a lot of people haven't tried a coach before. They haven't worked with one. Chris, have you ever worked with a coach?
Several.
Oh, you have?
Yeah.
And so how was it? Was it useful?
As you were saying earlier, it's people learn from each other. I mean, you can read books all day, you can listen to this radio show, you can listen to audios, but when you're sitting across the table one-on-one with someone who's been where you want to go, there's tremendous value in that.
I agree 100%.
So I've had several coaches over the years. I wouldn't be where I am today if it wasn't for the training that I've received from those professionals.
Yeah, there you go. I agree that there's a lot of good information out there, but a coach will give you targeted information. He's trained to perceive where the missing part is.
And help you stay focused.
Exactly.
Right. Keep you on track. That's
a big piece.
Probably 90% of what they do is actually just keep you on track. That's tremendous value.
I agree. So for example, so the third pillar is knowledge. So we talked about, you know, knowing and doing is not the same. You know, to not do is to not know. Knowledge is important, and we'll get to the doing part, but that's the third pillar. So just to acknowledge and follow truth, awesome respect for the truth, to, what is the second pillar? I lost my train of thought. To listen, which takes humility usually. I actually am reading a book on humility right now. I think the title is Humility, Andrew Murray. It's 100 pages. It's actually pretty good. And then the third pillar is knowledge. And we're actually going to be helping people. So most people listening to the show are interested in financial things. And we're going to be talking about that some more here. I do have an opportunity. I'm doing a seminar coming up. And people can probably learn more in that seminar in 90 minutes than maybe they have in their life. I think we talked last week about how it's just a paradigm shift for people. We're going to discuss in that. And by the way, I do have it up on my website. So if we run out of time and can't give you all the information, or if you don't have a pen handy, go to market4caster.com and click on the seminars tab, and the information's up there. But we're going to talk about there's universal ratios that are throughout the world. We've talked about that several times on the show. Well, if there are, in fact, we kind of hinted at that. There's pendulum swings, so you could anticipate, just like there was a big movement of, jobs leaving the country. Well, it's starting to swing back. So we're going to talk about universal patterns and how they divide universally. It's on July 25th, so it's a Thursday, and it's just coming up in a few short weeks. We'll start at 6:30. It's $99. It's cash or check, or $4 of real silver. And we actually have a money-back guarantee. If you don't get benefit out of it, we'll just hand it back to you. There's free parking, but you do have to RSVP. So go to market4caster.com. And all the details are there, and you can RSVP online just through through email. Just let me know that you're coming. So, folks, we have hopefully provided you value here. Happy Independence Day. We hope it's been a good one for you, and be safe.
You've been listening to Investing in You with your hosts, Eric Jamelli and Christopher Smith. Investing in You is a show dedicated to educating and informing the investing public. The ideas and opinions stated on the show are for informational purposes only. Investing in You, Eric Jamelli, and Christopher Smith are not investment advisors or broker-dealers. We cannot and do not give investment advice. The stock market carries risk. You could lose some or all of your investment. We suggest you contact your personal investment representative or call Les Nadson to discuss suitability for your individual investment. Contact information for Les and all of our show sponsors is on market4caster.com. Thanks for listening.